Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 15, from the verse number 1 to the verse number 7, I desire that we read in our first reading this morning with the help of the Lord. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. This far I desire that we read in our first reading. And now let us join our hearts in a prayer to the Lord. Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee, O Lord. We desire to worship Thee. And we acknowledge, O Heavenly Father, that only with Thy help, only by Thy grace, only through the guidance of Thy Spirit, O Lord, we can worship Thee. For Thou hast desired true worshippers to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. And we pray, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, that we be in that number, among those that worship Thee in spirit and in truth, with reverence and godly respect, admiring Thy great goodness and mercy, and rejoicing, O Heavenly Father, in Thy love. Thou alone art our Creator, and only Thou art our Savior. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, make us Thy faithful and beloved people of Thy covenant, that holy covenant in Christ, the flock that Thou hast gathered into Thy fold of grace, O Lord. Thou make us pure, purifying our conscience by the teaching of Thy Holy Scripture. Thou make us pure, washing away every stain of sin with the blood of our Redeemer. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Thou sanctify our souls, making our heart Thy dwelling place. O gracious Lord, Almighty God, how great is Thy goodness and mercy, O Lord! How great is Thy faithfulness! None of Thy promises ever failed. Thou fill our hearts with gratitude, that our souls may be like the priestly censers, filled with the coals of Thy zeal and Thy love, and with the incense of true gratitude. That our offerings, O Lord God Almighty, our thanksgiving and our praise may be pleasing Thee, that we truly worship Thee, O Lord, and that in that worship of Thine, praising and glorifying Thy holy name, and counting the multitudes of Thy blessings which Thou hast given us in Christ, we also may together rejoice. That we may rejoice, O Heavenly Father, in the beauty of Thy holiness, with the joy of Thy salvation, with a heart filled with love and free from worries and fears, free from selfishness. free from distractions that our enemy would desire to cast into our way and to confuse our mind and ruin the joy that Thou art giving, O Lord. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Thou help us not to be our own. Thou keep us from going each one his or her own way. Keep us from choosing our own path, O Lord, and make us true followers of the Savior, that we may desire that which is Thy desire, that Thy will be done, O Lord. O make us Thou faithful, faithful and fruitful. Thou hast said, O Heavenly Father, that Thy commandments are not grievous, that Thy yoke is easy and Thy burden is light. O grant us that pure and holy heavenly love, that we also may see how that great burden is so light, for the power of Thy love is greater and stronger than all the powers of darkness. Lord God, our loving Heavenly Father, this world is hopeless and doomed to destruction. But Thou grant us, O Lord, that our eyes of faith, our spiritual insight, be turned to Thee. That whenever we open the pages of this Holy Scripture that Thou hast given us, we may see that bright and glorious face of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ shining brightly upon our weak souls and filling our small and weak hearts with new strength and comfort and peace and joy of Thy salvation, O Lord. For even there, under the crown of thorns, even there, crucified on the cross, hanging on Thy painful wounds, even there in the deepest agony of hell, O Lord, Thou art wonderful, beautiful, glorious, Almighty God, destroying the power of darkness, prevailing against the mighty foe, the father of all lies. Even there, O Lord God Almighty, Thou art glorious and wonderful, for in the thick darkness that covered the earth shineth for the beauty of Thy holiness, Thy perfectly just and righteous judgments, and Thy glorious grace and mercy, redeeming sinners from eternal hell. So, we desire to worship Thee, to love Thee, with that pure and holy heavenly love, Thine love. Grant us that flame from heaven to fill our hearts anew, and the living hope that already has been fulfilled in Christ, that hope that will be completed, fulfilled so gloriously, so wonderfully, when Thou art going to gather Thy children, Thy redeemed ones, and move us far away from the presence of sin and sadness into that glorious kingdom of Thine, to worship Thee and to praise Thee, O Lord. May that hope ever comfort us. And bring new joy
to our weak hearts. Gracious Lord, Thou make us faithful and fruitful. Thou, O Heavenly Father, make us true children of Thy covenant, filled with Thy Holy Spirit, meekly awaiting, murmuring not, humbly walking beneath the load of the cross, knowing that in that we have fellowship with Thee, Almighty King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that in enormous suffering beyond description, step by step, hast walked on that path to eternal glory. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, when we lift up our weak voices to praise Thy holy name, may our praises be met with the praises of the heavenly angels. And may heaven and earth rejoice, for the kingdom has come and His presence has filled our hearts. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, may this glorious and wonderful presence of Thine in our souls, may it be radiating and beaming so brightly, O Lord, that the echo of Thy glory, the sound of this pure gospel teaching that Thou hast sounded forth in the words and perfect example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, may that echo sound clearly, beautifully in our hearts, in our minds, in our daily walk, and may it even reach the hearts of those that still struggle and the souls that, O Lord God Almighty, Thou art touching with Thy love, with Thy goodness and mercy, that, O gracious Lord, the number be fulfilled while the door is open yet, and that we all together may serve Thee and glorify Thy holy name, knowing that soon our pilgrimage will end and soon Thou wilt come in glory as Thine own people's King. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, glorious and wonderful Thou art. Praise, honor, worship, glory and power be to Thee forever and ever. Amen. In our second reading this morning, I desire that we read a few more verses. Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 15, from the verse number 8 to the verse number 10. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. This far I desire that we read in our second reading from the teaching and the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which He talked, which He shared, extended as a message from the Heavenly Father to the disciples and also to the others that were listening. And some of those that were listening became disciples, and some of those that were disciples became backsliders. They went back.
Our Lord and Savior had such a beautiful, glorious, marvelous sermons. In a few words, as we just read, He revealed fundamental truths, and not only the basic fundamental revelation, but also the beauty of God's holiness, creating that new creation. Long, long time ago, before this, way back in the days of Moses, the children of Israel united their efforts to create the Ark of the Covenant. And that Ark of the Covenant was being built in the wilderness, in a place where there was no much beauty, a place where there is hardly any life, but certainly nothing that would sustain human life. And as the children of Israel were gathering their jewels, their keepsakes, the things that they preserved, retained for a long time for some special purpose, now they're gathering all of that together in a heap, and out of that gold, silver, and very special material, they're going to make the Ark of the Covenant. And when that was completed, when that was finished, it was the beauty of God's holiness in the wilderness of this sinful world. Now, after so many years, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the beauty, the reality of God's holiness, the face of the Father in a meek and humble servant, servant of servants, is being revealed through the message that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was proclaiming. In this chapter 15, we see that publicans and sinners are gathering around our Lord to hear Him. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the living Word of God, did not command them to stand back a few feet so that they would not somehow desecrate Him, because they're unclean, they're sinful. They're coming to Him not to multiply their sins, not to enjoy anything sinful, but to hear the gospel. And the Lord Jesus Christ is physically joining them. He is eating and drinking with them. He is showing them His hospitality and the hospitality of His disciples. And everything, all of that large number of publicans and sinners, is flooded with the Word of God. And first time in their life, they feel that God loves sinners that seek His salvation. So, there are the others. There are some religious people, Pharisees and scribes, and they are murmuring, saying, "This one receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And the Lord, teaching publicans and sinners, has a sermon, a lesson for the Pharisees and for the scribes. So He's asking them, "What man of you, or what person among you, having 100 sheep," which is quite a number, 100 sheep, "if he lose one of them," well, the Lord could have said, if one of His 100 sheep get lost, not putting the responsibility on the owner of the 100 sheep, but the responsibility would be in that case upon the sheep that wandered away. But the Lord is here presenting the goodness and mercy of the Good Shepherd, the one that has the sheep as His own, not
as the flock that he is hired to take care of, not as one that is interested in his pay, but interested in the life and safety of his sheep. The Lord is not emphasizing, not exposing the foolishness of that sheep that wandered away, but the love and the tender fatherly care of the good shepherd. So he says, if he loses one of them, it is not the question of right or wrong or guilt and justification, but the loving concern. When that one is lost, the good shepherd, the owner of the flock, feels that loss. So he wants to find the one that is lost. Doth not he leave the 99 in the wilderness, in this world, and go after that one which is lost until he find it? Now, the wonderful thing about this shepherd is that he is present everywhere. That he is, even with the 99 that he left in the wilderness, they are not left alone. The fatherly care is with them that are together united in Christ. However, the one that is lost has the concern of the good shepherd. He is going after that one. The Lord has not come to save those that are saved, but to save those that are lost. Well, could we say that when our Lord and Savior was on this earth teaching and preaching, that the kingdom of heaven was deprived of his presence? Well, I would rather think that the hearts of the heavenly host were with him. Because that's what he says here, that there is a great joy seeing salvation of one sinner. So, when the shepherd found his lost sheep, he's rejoicing. Rejoicing so much that even though the journey might have been difficult and dangerous, and even though he might have been tired, he is not tired, he is joyful. And because of that joy, that sheep is not too great a burden for his shoulders. He considered his journey only half done, or perhaps less than half. From this point on, he will not be walking alone. He has a company, and that company is not a burden. It's not irritating. He does not regret the effort that he is investing with joy because of love and concern for the lost sheep. He is not chasing that sheep back, but he is not dragging that sheep back. He picked the sheep up in his bosom, and then on his shoulder, and with joy he walks back. But that tells us how far the sheep was wandering away from the flock, how far from the good shepherd. So far that sheep was not able to walk back, not even led by the shepherd. He had to take it upon his shoulders. And so the shepherd is walking back, rejoicing. He is not alone. The heavenly angels around the throne of God. The whole heaven is rejoicing. One sinner is repenting. One soul is snatched away from the hellfire. One soul that is so precious in the sight of the Lord that there is no value if all the treasures of all the kingdoms throughout all ages, the kingdoms of this world would be joined together, they couldn't pay the price. So, because there was no such a great value in the whole world throughout all the ages that would redeem one soul, the Father has sent His Son to this earth. For He loved that world, the world of the redeemed ones, the world of the saved ones, the world of those that will taste here on earth the joy of His salvation, the peace of His redemption, the comfort of His fellowship, those that will have the pretaste of the heavenly glory. The Father loved them so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that none of those that believe on Him should perish, but have life, and that life everlasting. No wonder this shepherd is rejoicing. No wonder he is willing to carry that burden. But no wonder when that sheep is back in fold with the 99, the 99 and the one will rejoice together, for they know how great is the price. They know that that walk of the good shepherd through the wilderness and back, bringing the one that was lost, that path was marked with the blood and tears. And that every step was on that steep and thorny path. And yet, the joy of salvation was so great that the Good Shepherd, in his story here, did not mention his pain, his grief, his effort, only the joy and the celebration. For great and glorious is that salvation. Well, when he hath found it, he calleth his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. You see, the message of the gospel is not only the repentance. Oh yes, repentance, very important. Quite fundamental. But then, the important part of the message is the joy of the salvation. And that joy is not to be kept in hiding, but rather shared with as many as possible. We could say that he shared the joy with his friends and not with the others that are not his friends. Well, no, that's not the case. He said also with his neighbors. You see, the holiness of God is so abundant, so great, so generously given to his people, that that holiness is not desecrated when it's extended to touch the hearts that are not holy yet. We do not cast the pearls of God's holiness before the unholy creatures when we proclaim the goodness and mercy of God and the joy of his salvation. Oh no, we are actually transforming the souls. He is doing that. Changing, transfigurating, making different the souls of sinners, so that at least for a moment they might taste something of the beauty of his holiness. Perhaps, the light will fall upon the hearts that are darkened by sin, and they might perceive that beautiful is the light, and they might desire to be saved, rescued from their darkness. But then we have this other story. And I wonder, what is the meaning, what is the depth of truth that the Lord is revealing to us here? He says that a woman having 10 pieces of silver, well, that 10 is not as much, not as many pieces as 100 sheep. Who is this woman in this story? Is this only an example, a parable that does not have any other dimension but the dimension of the joy of finding what is lost? Well, I would rather question that opinion. Let's read that story again. It's a very short one, and yet there is so much in it that it's difficult for me in my weakness to reach the bottom of the depth of the wisdom that is being revealed here. The Lord says, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. And then the Lord says again, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Well, with the help of the Lord, I will try. Going step by step, as much as the Lord is revealing, perhaps we will come to the end of this story before the end of our time here together. In quite a few places we find a woman. In the scripture, perhaps we could think that a woman is like a congregation, a group of souls bound together to serve the Lord, to keep their household in good order. And these souls have their treasure in the Lord, not in the world. And just as in the times of old, our father David was praising the Lord with a harp that had 10 strings, producing beautiful harmony, when the complete will of the Lord was sounding forth as a continual praise to the King of Kings, to our Heavenly Father. But then one string broke, and that harmony was not complete, and the melody was not as beautiful, and the servant of the Lord is trying to play, and using all his skill, he still cannot make that beautiful harmony because one string is broken. What is this woman doing in order to find what is lost? She lit a candle. What happened to that candle? Where was the candle before? You see, because the candle was not burning brightly, and inside this household there was a shadow, not that bright light. That's why perhaps one coin got lost. But even if that was not the reason that the coin was lost, it perhaps some negligence, perhaps some incident. But in any case, that coin cannot be found until the candle, the truth of the Lord, is shining brightly in that household. You see, the light of our body is the eye. It's a window which, if opened in the right direction, receives the light, the brightness of the truth of God. When we look at our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then a beam of light comes to our soul through our understanding that He gives us. And the candle, the truth of God, should never stop. It should always give light to us. But sometimes we take the light of the truth for granted. Just as the people of Israel in the wilderness, when they were gathering manna every day, after a long while, they said, "It's tasteless. Just try. Honey is so sweet, and try to eat it." And keep eating and eating and eating. And very soon, it's not sweet anymore. Did honey lose its taste? No. Something was wrong the way we ate that honey. You see, when the Lord said to His people to gather manna, He told them that they should gather as much as they need, only as much as they need. But then the rest of their time, they shouldn't be sitting around that dish and eating. No, they should haste and do their work. You see, when we eat as much as we need, and then we haste to do our work, then very soon we will be hungry again, and that food will be sweet, delicious again. That's how the Word of God should work in our life. We should eat of the bread of heaven, but then we should walk in the steps of the one that lived a heavenly life even in this wild world. That's how the Word of God is giving us light. We take that light and then we shine toward one another, and then together we shine in this world as a city that is on a hilltop. So when this woman realized that one of her coins is missing, you know, I have a perception that this woman did not notice when her coin got lost. If she did, suppose that she had her 10 coins in her hand and one of the coins somehow fell down to the ground and rolled away somewhere, this woman would have known right away where the coin is. She did not realize. Just when she looked back into her treasure, oh, no, something is missing. One of her 10 coins is lost. How did that happen? Unnoticed. That's how we lose spiritual gifts. Unnoticed. By distraction. But the moment she noticed that she suffered a loss, she did not delay. She did not hesitate. She knew right away what to do. Oh, this woman was a wonderful woman. This congregation was a godly congregation. And yet, as we live in this world, as we walk in this weak flesh of ours, losses are very, very likely, very possible. But the moment that this congregation, this group of believers, noticed that something is lost, they knew exactly what to do. They turned again to that light. And now the light is shining brightly. And in the light of this light, there is a great cleaning job to be done. So, we read here. This woman is sweeping her house. This woman is seeking diligently. How long? Until she found it. And when she did find it, she was not embarrassed to confess to her friends and even to her neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me. I have found that coin which I had lost." Oh, there is not pride in losing something that is precious. There is only humility. But when she did, when the believers acknowledged their loss and shared their joy, of finding what is lost, of having their hearts completely together for the Lord, then something wonderful happened. A sinner repented and found salvation. You see, the Lord worked through those that used His light and invested their efforts to find what is lost. And so the Lord says that the joy of that salvation is so wonderful, so great, that it united the hearts and the souls and the minds of the redeemed ones with the heavenly hosts. And there was joy in heaven and in earth. And the prayer was fulfilled that says, "Thy will be done in earth, just as it is in heaven." How good and faithful the Lord is. When He shared this truth with the listeners there, the proud Pharisees and scribes were rebuked, humiliated. But the penitent sinners, those that gathered together to hear the gospel, they experienced the goodness and the grace of the Heavenly Father. And they deeply, deep there in their soul, they felt that this one is bringing the message of heaven, that the truth has shined upon their minds and the darkness